Turn to 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. Second Kings chapter 3, you have Jehoshaphat is in rule, at least he rules there with Judah. And you have Jehoram, which is Ahab's son. And Ahab was ruler over Israel at that time. And the Bible says about him that he still did evil, but not like his father Ahab. He at least removed Baal. So he made an attempt. And probably, more than likely, Brother Mike, it was more of a political move than anything else. He made an attempt to remove Baal and kind of get things back in order. So it could have been deceptive to others. And think about Jehoshaphat. He could have been deceived to thinking that maybe he was trying to at least do the will of God. And I'm just going to kind of give it that look as we begin to read tonight that possibly Jehoshaphat thought that. In verse 6, and King Jehoram went out Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art. My people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. So they have an ally that's come along, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here's Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all the wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stone. And it come to pass in the morning that the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. You know, I want you to first notice back in verse 8, Jehoshaphat seems to give the king of Israel the benefit of the doubt. He said, what way shall we go up? And he said, well, we're going to go this way. He said, okay, my people's your people. You know, all my men, we're as one. We will go together as one. I'm your ally. We'll go. And he put some faith in him that, look, this man has probably scouted this thing out. He has a battle strategy. And all I've got to do is go down there and fight alongside of him. But he's got this thing at least mapped out. And yet they come out here to a place, they get so far that they send out a compass in all directions. They go out a 7 days journey and they cannot find water. So they're in a bind. They realize that, you know, of course the king of Israel says, look, God just brought us out here, got us all together, brought us out here so that we'd fall into the hands of the Moabites. They've already won the battle. You know, this has been a vain attempt. They've won the battle already. You know, we're just going to come out here and die in the wilderness, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing we can do about it. And I love the way Jehoshaphat, he kind of finally, Brother Ryan, he steps up and he takes charge. Okay, listen, is there not a prophet here somewhere that can talk to God? And somebody spoke up and said, yeah, there's at least one, Elisha. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. And he said, yeah, he's a good man. We know about him. Let's go see him and see what God has to say. Now, Jehoram was ready to quit immediately. We tried, we failed. We gave it our best shot. And this is the outcome. And God has brought us this far just to drop us, basically just drop us on our face. And he was ready to accept that. I wonder how many times we are ready just to accept defeat because things look tough. You know, I've seen times in my life where things may look a little bit challenging. And I just feel like, you know, there's just no use. Oh, I've just been dealt a bad hand. Things are just not looking good for me. And almost just want to give up. Seems like that's where he is. And it's a good thing that a man like Jehoshaphat, which was a good king, a fine king, it's a good thing he was alone. He said, let's find us a man of God. Let's go and get directions. In other words, we need to know the way. It's not that there's not a way. It's just we don't know what it is. And we need to know the way. And when we know the way, then we can continue on. And so they go and they inquire of Elisha. And so he comes out and he basically lets the king of Israel know, I don't even want to look at you, man. I know your daddy. Ahab, I know how you were raised and I know the spirit that's within you. I don't even want to look at you. And he says, yeah, but God brought us out here to deliver us over in the hand of Moab. See, he still has lost the battle, Brother Freddie. He has already given up. He's even letting him know, look, we're out here and we've done lost. God delivered us out here so that he could turn us over to the Moabites. But Elisha said, I tell you what, that man standing right there, Jehoshaphat, he's a good man. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even look at you. But because of him, I'm going to tell you what to do. You send for me a minstrel. You send for me someone that can play on an instrument. I love that. You got a man of God, and he said, this is what I need to do. I need to worship a little bit. I need to hear some good music. And after that, then I'll tell you. And so they bring someone that can play an instrument, more than likely a stringed instrument they brought in, a harp or something of that nature, and comes in and begins to play that, and he begins to dwell on the Lord, and the Lord, it says, the hand of the Lord came upon him. He knew what to do. We've got direction now. We can continue on. In fact, I'm going to tell you what to do, and if you do it, God's going to give you the victory as well. Well, that's good news, especially whenever those around you done give up. When those around you done sit thrown in the towel and say, well, He just got it in for us. We tried, we did our best, but apparently God's just not in this. Apparently God has led us out here so that we could fall. Now, Elisha comes out and he says, okay, here's what God says. You need to fill this valley full of ditches. That's always been so interesting to me, Brother Joey, that God said that. You fill the valley full of ditches. In other words, you're going to get water, but it's not going to be through a rock like Moses. You're going to get water, but there's not going to be a cloud in the sky. It's not coming through rain. You are going to have to dig ditches, and when you get through digging those ditches, making the valley full of ditches, then God is going to give you water. and you can get strength from that. You can go on your way, and God's going to give you the battle. And whenever He does, you go in there and you clean house. You take and you basically ruin every piece of, just every acre that's there. You cut down every good tree. You cut it down. You don't let anything stand. So God has some direction. You're not going to get a rain cloud, though. You're not going to get it through a rock. You're not going to get it. Now, I'm not just going to send you a cup of water. Nobody's riding up on camels to bring you some relief. You've got to do it this way. Question I have tonight is why? Why has it got to be that way? And the reason I'm asking that is because I want to get you to think with me just for a minute. See, God could zap it if He wanted to. Is that a proper term? God could just zap it if He wanted to. He could just fix the problem. No work involved. No need to dig out a shovel. No need to do anything. Just sit back and relax, and God's going to send water through this valley. So why didn't He? He could have just summoned up a rain cloud and sent it that way, and it rained so hard that they could have just... It took their clothes and squeezed out water in all their vessels and been enough. Why didn't He? Now, I'm going to answer that and say it really don't matter why. It really does not matter why. Sometimes we like to wonder why God is doing things the way that He's doing. The answer is it don't matter. Water's not coming unless you grab a shovel. That's the direction. And if that's the case, then, okay, God could just send it. God could show them a well that's been capped off somewhere, and they just dig a little bit, and that well comes springing up. God could have done that. God could have sent that cloud. God could have, he could have said, go out here and speak to a rock. Whenever you do, water's going to come out. You can feed all your men and your cattle and everything else. God could have done that, but He didn't. And I've asked you why, and I want you to think about that, because if that is the case, if God can do it any way He wants to, and He chooses to do it this way, then there must be some underlying thing that needs attention. See, it took digging for water. These three men, for them to understand, they need God. They you don't just strike off to go out here against Moab and not consider me. You don't just make up your mind we're going a certain way and not consider the Lord. If you're going out here and you're going in the name of the Lord, then you need to at least consider the Lord. Because God has a way. He always has. God has a way that things work. Here it took digging ditches in order to get the rain. You know, again, I just want to encourage you and try to emphasize, we don't ever want to strike out on a mission without direction. Sometimes we think we know what's best. We think we know the way. We think what will work. But we don't ever want to do that and just take it for granted that God's in it. Because there's a way that things work. Here, digging ditches. You know, I thought about the man that Jesus spit on the ground, Brother Ryan, and he went down and he made a little clay, and he took it and he put it on a man's eye that was blind, and he said, now you go off to the pool of Siloam and wash it off. Why? He could have just said, receive your sight. There's always something that's underlying that God is trying to show, and it's good for us to see. If God has something for us to do, He has a way for us to do it, then we need to understand what's in that. Sometimes harder times come our way. It's a time we might not understand. What's this hard thing I'm dealing with? Why am I dealing with this? But I can guarantee you one thing. God's not just being mean. God has something for us to see. There's a way that things work. You know, He told Moses, He said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Why? What about his shoes was not holy? Well, the reason, because God said so. That's how it works. If you're going to step on this ground, you're going to take your shoes off because God said so. You know, he tells people of Israel, he said, don't offer strange fire. What's the difference between one fire and another? The difference is God said so. He said, do it this way. You know, I'm going to just use a simple illustration because y'all know I've been frustrated by weed eaters before. I've told you about it. You take a weed eater, sometimes you can pull on that string and they just won't crank. Sometimes it's because of operator error. Oh, but I tell you what, you can take and you can pull that thing until your arm has no more strength to pull. But if that's not the problem, if it's out of gas, you're not going to crank it. You can pull on that thing until you blew in the face, but if that plug is fouled, you've got to address that. There's a way that things work. And that's very simple. You know, you can take and you say, I don't like it. This weed eater is just sorry. It's a piece of junk. You throw it. I'll tell you what. That weed eater didn't feel a thing. Did it? And that did nothing to make that weed eater run. Because there's a way it works. If it's gas, then you've got to put gas in it. If you need to change a plug, you need to change a plug. Whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's as simple, you didn't turn the switch on. You pulled and you pulled and you forgot to turn the on switch on. And it will not crank no matter how much you try. And no matter how frustrated you get with it. And you know this, I don't have to even tell you that, but just for you to think with me just a minute, God has a way that works. God's ways are not our carnal ways. They're just not. Sometimes we may wish they were. God, it'd be so much easier if you just do things the way I want you to. No, it wouldn't. Because we wouldn't learn what we need to learn. We wouldn't get the message. We wouldn't grow spiritually because we didn't have that lesson to be learned. God, Bible says God's ways are mysterious. Sometimes you get to one and you think you know about what God's doing and you may be off. God's ways are right and they're pure. God's ways, he said, my ways confound the wise. Smart people get confused by the way God does things. And if a smart person gets confused by it, then look, I better be paying attention. Look over at Jeremiah chapter 6, if you will. Just one verse here, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Sounds like stubborn human beings, don't it? God said, there's a way that this will work. And, you know, we say, well, I'm not going to do it that way. Well, that's stubbornness. Stubbornness is a major sin. At least that's what Samuel told King Saul, didn't he? Stubbornness is like, is it idolatry or witchcraft? It's sinful. Sometimes, well, I tell you, looking at somebody, be so stubborn. I can. I tell you, I have to do things my way sometimes and then back up and redo it the right way. You do it the right way, you don't have to redo it. Here, God has established, he lets know, I've established some paths that have been, these paths have been beaten down for us since the beginning. These spiritual paths, they are a good way. He said, if you'll walk in those ways, you will find rest for your soul. You will. I know I've told you about them bears in Alaska, but just to remind you again, you can go up to a certain place in Alaska and out in a field that looks just, I guess, weeds growing everywhere. You walk out in there and you sink up to your waist in marsh. It's almost impossible to walk there. But if you have a guide that's there with you, he can show you that bears have made a path, and big grizzlies, there's a mound that they have found. And they've been traveling that mound through that marsh for hundreds and hundreds of years. It is an established path. That is the way that you go. That's the way those bears go every day of their life, because it's the good way. It's not the struggling way. It's not the hard way. It's not the impossible way. It is the way. So they take that path. You know, there's a way life works. You look around today and you see so many people that seem so confused and so just tormented by life. I hear people make statements about life. Life's not even worth living. Not worth living. But it is. It's very much worth living. There's a way that it works. The Lord tells us in Psalms chapter 1. He says that there's a way for us, and he lets us know. He said, you can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaf will not wither, and everything you do shall prosper. There's a way. But it's God's way. It's not my way. There's a way. The way of His Word, He lets us know, and we've known this, and you've heard this so many times, but God's Word, He said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It means God, His Word, will illuminate the way we need to go. I preached last week about the Holy Spirit and how we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Tonight I want us to see that by His Word, that the path that we need to go will be illuminated, and God's Spirit works hand in hand with His Word, that we can know the way. People throwing life away, trying this and trying that and trying something else, and thinking it's just too hard, life's just too hard. It's not hard. You know, we used to talk about, boy, things were so simple. Oh, back 50 years ago, it was so simple. I agree. Things were seemed like a lot. Just what we say when, I guess what we mean when we say that, life was slower. Wasn't quite such a fast pace, and you didn't have to make so many decisions. But we live in a fast-paced world now, and there's a lot of decisions that we have to make. And how do we make all of them? Well, there is a way. We can follow the way that works. I can go through Scripture. Tonight I'm not going to do it. I know we've got conference, but there's a way family works. It works God's way. Raising children, it works God's way. The church work that we have, it works God's way. You see churches splitting. I'm so thankful we don't deal with that here. I know we could tomorrow, and by the grace of God, we have what we have as a church, but so many are splitting, and I tell you what, we just can't do anything, and everything's falling apart. And I tell you what, God established His church, and He said the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. He has a way that it works. People say, well, I have lost all faith in church. I've lost all faith in religion. You're talking about the bride of Christ that He established. And if He's established His church and He said it's going to be here when He comes back, then I can guarantee you one thing, He's made a way that it works. Think about prayer. Prayer works. It does. I know you may show out, sometimes it don't work. Well, I'm going to say something might be obvious by this point. There's a way that it works. God gave us a way. Somewhere in prayer, He's incorporated forgiveness. You've got to forgive in order for prayer to work like it's supposed to. He talks about agreement with a brother. You know, being in agreement. It works. He talks about keeping his commandments. He said if we don't, he said our prayer becomes an abomination. As a boy, it don't work. He said to seek his will. If we will seek his will and we will align ourselves with his will, our prayer will work. If you're here and you're lost, I'm going to tell you something. I speak from experience. Salvation works. Now, it don't work just any old way, but it works. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. There you go. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. I know the rest of the world don't like to hear that, but that's the truth of the matter. He is the way. And you try every other way you want to try, and it will not work. But whenever you do it his way, it does. In fact, the key to life is Jesus. It works through him. You know, the Bible says we cannot tame our tongue. Imagine that. You cannot tame your tongue. But I tell you what, through Jesus Christ, you can. You cannot even pray except you do it in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you tonight to accept that doing things according to his way is the only way that really works. Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I thought about Starbucks, and that's a place I don't go into. I know this by reputation only. But Starbucks, they have a coffee menu. That's funny to me. A coffee menu, you can go in there. They got 100 different types of coffee. I don't know how many. But to me, coffee's coffee. I make it in a pot every day. But you go there, and you got all the choices in the world. And you got combinations that you can mix together and make all different kinds. You go to Baskin Robbins, they got 32 flavors. We have come to be a culture that is spoiled rotten at having our way. I want it my way. I want it just like I want it. I want it now. And I want it absolutely according to my liking. But I'm going to tell you what, when we deal with this spiritual life that God has blessed us with, there's no menu. God has a way. And if we'll get in that path, if we'll see his way, if we'll listen to what he's saying, don't have to worry about things. He's going to take care of us. We'll ask for something.